in the darkness, you're wondering, is Jesus still listening to me? Is he truly aware of my suffering? And is this the way it always will be?
My friend, I know the answer to your question. But don't trust my opinion alone. You should ask the host of others, sisters and brothers, who have been there, and their story lives on.
Just as the woman at the well, the thief on the cross, the dumb tell it all, as the beggars and lepers who've been touched by his hand. Can he handle an impossible task? They'll know the answer just as
I too stood in the darkness, not wanting to walk one more mile. My mind
filled with unanswered questions, hiding tears behind every smile.
But then drew strength from those pilgrims, the ones who were the first to believe. When their faith reached out to trust him, his arms reached back to help them, and to be able to do the same for you.
Just as the woman on the cross, the lame man who's walking, the dumb tell it all, as the beggars and lepers who've been touched by his hand. Can he handle an impossible task? They'll know the answer.
That good message and song today. Psalm 1, first chapter in the largest book of the Bible, Psalm 1, and when you find that, we'll give you a second there, and that middle portion of the book, Psalm chapter 1, and in a moment we'll stand together and we'll read God's word today, the word magnified above all his name. Psalm chapter 1, if you're able to stand, would you do, please do that with me in honor of God's word. Let's read this one responsively. If you join me on the even numbered verses, I'll begin in verse 1. Blessed is the man that walketh not in the counsel of the ungodly, nor standeth in the way of sinners, nor sitteth in the seat of the scornful. But his delight is in the law of the Lord, and in his law doth he meditate day and night. And he shall be like a tree planted by the rivers of water, that bringeth forth his fruit in his season. His leaf also shall not wither, and whatsoever he doeth shall prosper. The ungodly are not so, but are like the chaff which the wind driveth away. Therefore the ungodly shall not stand in the judgment, nor sinners in the congregation of the righteous. For the Lord knoweth the way of the righteous, but the way of the ungodly shall perish. I want to speak this morning on the blessed man's relationship with the magnified word. That's a long title. The Blessed Man's Relationship with the Magnified Word. Let's pray. Father, thank you again for your book. Now we're going to open its pages and delve into this chapter a little bit. And so we need your Spirit, the great teacher, to help us understand, comprehend. Lord, if it encourages us, if it convicts us, if it challenges us, if it reproves us, whatever it does, however you use it, it's like a fire, like a hammer that breaketh the rock in pieces. It's a double-edged sword. It's oil for comfort. I don't know how you'll use it this morning, but use it in our midst. I pray, Holy Spirit, to fill both speaker and listener with your power so that we can go home today helped from the book that's been magnified above all your name. In Christ's name I pray. Amen. Thank you. Be seated. One of the places that I have visited many times is Niagara Falls. I've been there with my wife, just she and I, on a trip we just took together some years ago and made that one of the places that we visited. I've been there with my family. I've been there with the teens on senior trip. And unlike other places I have visited more than once, Niagara Falls always amazes me. It always just fills me with awe. And it does that every time I visit. And I think one of the reasons it does so is because of, I guess the word I'll use is its perpetuity. It continues uninterrupted. It's an uninterrupted, continuous flow of water that never stops. And as much water pours over those falls, there's always more to follow. It just is amazing to me. I guess in this recent storm, it actually froze up. That Buffalo and those towns over there suffered through recently. But it's just an amazing place. And I feel that same way about Psalm 1. You know, it has a divine, continued, uninterrupted flow. You drink from it, you stand in awe of it, and you don't even ever get to the bottom of it. There's always more to follow. Now, the psalm is simple. It's divided into two parts. It's about two different kinds of people. Every person fits into one of the two kinds of people described in the verses in Psalm 1. Verses 1 through 3 are about the blessed man. The word blessed simply means happy. But it's not just, you know, yeah, I'm happy. It's happy used as an interjection, meaning how happy! Exclamation point. And the man in Psalm chapter 1, verses 1 through 3, is copyable. He can be any man. He can be any woman. He could be any teenager, any boy or girl in this room. He is not born into God's family with a silver spoon in his mouth. He's not born into God's family receiving special treatment because of his pedigree. No. He lines himself up with the principles found in verses 1 through 3. And the results of that is he is a how happy child of God. Child of God. Now verses 4 through 6 are about the ungodly. The ungodly are not like the blessed. The blessed. Not because they're poor. Not because they're uneducated. Or born on the wrong side of the tracks, spiritually speaking. No. They don't live by the principles of the blessed. Bottom line. That's the reason. Now, I believe these truths can be about both saved and unsaved, but they can also be about two different kinds of saved people. Because not all saved people are happy, fruitful Christians. So the word ungodly can be used about those who do wrong or act wickedly. And it's possible for saved people to do wrong and act wickedly. And some of these principles, I believe, apply, yes, to unsaved people. But I believe they also apply to Christians who are not obedient to God's word, who do not, as the blessed man did in verse 2, find delight in the law of the Lord. That's the basic thing. This man's delight is in the law of the Lord. So I want to talk for a little bit this morning about the man in verses 1 through 3. The blessed man's relationship with the magnified word. Because in this passage, this is the contributing thing. This is the contributing factor to his happiness and his excessive happiness. And again, this is the Christian who is happy with an exclamation point. People don't say about this man, well, yes, I believe he's happy. They say about this man, I tell you the truth, that man, that woman, that's one happy man. That's one happy person. This is not a slightly happy child of God. This is a heavenly happy child of God. Now, let me ask you a question. Who doesn't want that? Who doesn't want that? So what about this blessed man and his relationship with the Word of God, the magnified Word? All right, first of all, I want you to see his pleasure. His pleasure is talked about in verse number 2. Again, his delight is in the law of the Lord, in his law doth he meditate day and night. So the characteristic of this man's life that leads to him being so happy is his pleasure. His delight is found in God's Word. The Word of God is his delight. Hey, people, this man does not live under the burden of having to pay attention to the Word of God. He does not live under the burden of having to read it or having to hear it preached. No. He does not avoid the Word of God because it creates a sense of dread in him. No, he takes pleasure in the Word of God, in its truths, in its commandments, in its author. And if you and I want to be a heavenly, happy child of God, His Word must be our delight. We must find pleasure in God's Word. So I got a question for us this morning, for me and for you. Personal question. How do you view God's Word? When you see it, when you see your Bible on the nightstand by your bed, when you walk through your home and you see it on the coffee table in your family room, or you see it on the table beside the chair where you sit, or wherever you keep your Bible, when you see it, what does your heart speak to you? What does it say to you? Does it create a burdensome feeling, a feeling of dreaded obligation? You know, this is the time of the year where people start doing their what? Taxes. Is that fun? Now, if you're a couple, young couple with young children, you're cha-chinging. Cha-ching, cha-ching, cha-ching. And if you tithed all year, don't worry about tithing on it. But if you didn't tithe, catch up on your tithe. Amen. That's a good thing right there. Amen. See? I didn't get many amens on that one, did I, huh? We don't enjoy doing our taxes. What is the task around the house that is your least favorite task? When you're approaching it, it's kind of like, ugh. For me, it's painting. It's a funny thing. Once I start, I don't want to stop. But getting started, it's like, are you living under the burden of the Word of God? Or is it a delight to your heart? That's an honest question, isn't it? Yeah. This man delighted in the Word of God. You know how it is when someone has told you about a book, and it comes from the genre that you enjoy the most. What genre of book? I'm talking about books written by men. What do you enjoy? You enjoy westerns? You enjoy, you know, sci-fi? I never got into sci-fi, ever. But some people like that stuff. Is it conspiracy book? I mean, is it biographies? So somebody tells you about this book. Man, you got to get this book. It fits the genre that you enjoy the most. And you finally get a copy of that book from the bookstore, or in this day and age, downloaded on your Audible app or whatever, or you get it from the library, and you've looked forward to reading it, and the time has finally come, and you have some quiet time, which is rare if you're a young couple especially, and you got your favorite place to sit, and the book that you have anticipated is in your hands. How do you view that? Positively, right? It's an exciting thing. And there's nothing wrong with that when it comes to books written by men, but should there only be a sense of obligation or worse, almost dread when picking up God's book to read it? Almost like, I got to do this. This is my duty, it's my obligation, and if I don't read it, Pastor will probably preach about it this Sunday. And I feel bad, and I don't want to feel bad. So I'm going to read it. Now, I'm over-exaggerating. I get it, but seriously. Is there no delight? Is there no pleasure? Is there no sense of wonder when you hold in your hand a book God has magnified above His name? All His name. I preached about that last Sunday night. I'm not going to re-preach that message. People in here wouldn't dare take the name of God in vain. Wouldn't dare do it. But the book that He's lifted up above His name sits around your house. Right. Folks, we're talking about the blessed. This man's not born with a silver spoon spiritually. No. He has found delight in the law of the Lord. And you know, when you think about this text, the man that the psalmist is writing about may have only had the books of Moses. Genesis, Exodus, Leviticus, Numbers, Deuteronomy. That's maybe all he had to read. He found delight in Leviticus. He found delight in Numbers. And by the way, you can too if you get to the place where you enjoy the book. Whether what we read, you know, is teaching us what is right or what is not right or how to get right or how to stay right, it doesn't matter. If it's teaching me what is right, what's not right, how to get right, how to stay right, it doesn't matter. What I read is God's Word, and what I read is given to me from the very breath of God. Filled with His life, filled with His love, filled with His wisdom. Do I not take any delight in that? You don't have to be an adult. You can be a teenager. You can be a boy or girl, elementary school, who takes the book and maybe a chapter or of eight verses and just understands what this is. And find delight in the Word of God. Now, look, I'm not saying that every day when it's time to read the Word of God, we're just going to jump in. Yahoo! You know, we're going to just, this is magnificent. No, that's not going to happen. Our flesh is too strong. And the law of sin and death that dwells in our nature is going to battle us all the time. And sometimes we lose that battle. Why is it so easy to pick up your phone and open a website? But such a to pick up this book. It's God's Word. You know, we were down to Mississippi to see Pete, Leah, and the kids. Let me rephrase that. The kids, Leah and Pete, too. And I'm ashamed of this, but I'm trying to be transparent to you today, this morning, to tell you that, you know, you don't have a perfect man preaching this to you, but the allurement of being with family and the anticipation of the day's activities, We went to escape room. The six of us adults. It was great. Hard. And we got out with just a few seconds to go. And me and Joyce just kind of walked around, you know. The other four got us out, okay. But it was fun that we got out. So, you know, there was we did things. And of course, the grandchildren and the allurement of being with family. And I read every day. But a couple of days, it was kind of burdensome to read. And I was relieved when I was finished. Got that done. Don't look at me like that. You don't do that. You do that because we're human. But I'm going to say this, as transparent as I was about that, I will say this to you too in the same transparency. I'm glad that that is not the rule. I'm glad that that's the exception. How is it with you? How is it with you? His pleasure. He finds pleasure, his delight, is in the magnified word. Now, number two, I want you to notice this. I want you to notice his position. That's in verse number one, which we are told about actually before his pleasure. So he says in verse one, blessed is the man that walketh, this is the same man that's in verse two, that walketh not in the counsel of the ungodly, nor standeth in the way of sinners, nor sitteth in the seat of the scornful. Now that's his position. Now stick with me. There is no doubt but that this man's position contributes to his pleasure. Are you thinking with me this morning? He has learned, he understands, he has observed that he cannot intimately befriend those who do not find pleasure in God's Word. If he wants to find delight in God's Word, I got to run with people who are the same. His position contributes to his pleasure. He cannot walk together with those who are not agreed on the importance of God's Word in their life. And according to verse 1, he has separated from those whose counsel, advice is different than the counsel and advice of God's Word. He can't delight in God's Word and be continuously fed counsel and advice that's in opposition to God's Word. Can't happen. He has separated from those whose ways are in opposition to God's Word. He can't walk or stand in the way of sinners. And even more so, he has separated from those who make light of and mock God's Word. So there goes about 90% of your primetime television. And your primetime comedians who aren't funny at all. They're vile, filthy, wicked men who include in their comedic routine mocking statements about God and Jesus and the Word that He's magnified above all, His name. And you got to separate from stuff like that if you're ever going to enjoy and take pleasure and delight in His Word. Amen, Pastor Angel. Amen and amen. God's Word asks the question, can two walk together except they be agreed? His position concerning others' priority on God's Word directly influences his pleasure in God's Word. And if they cannot be agreed on the importance of God's Word, he'll be friendly, he'll be kind, but he's not going to be close friends with them because that position will directly impact his pleasure over time. Because you are right now, or you soon will be The ones you run with. The people you listen to. The TV shows you watch. And the movies that mock God and laugh at His Word. Now, fortunately, there will be those that we have to position ourselves away from if we hope to maintain pleasure in God's Word. Folks, we dare not be influenced by those who do not place a priority on what God has magnified above all His name. Now, look, this is January the 8th. 365 minus 8 is 357? We got a long year ahead of us. You're going to get very tired of hearing me say that. But He's magnified His Word above all His name. That's something that you and I have to take seriously. We dare not be influenced by them. And that's tough. It's not easy, especially if it's family or friends who place a less importance on God's Word, a less priority on the thing that He's magnified. And if I want to magnify it and I want to find delight in it, and I want to take pleasure in God's Word, I've got to make sure that I keep my close, intimate contacts, those with whom that do the same, that magnify God's Word, that place an important emphasis on God's Word. Now, that doesn't mean we become recluses. Doesn't mean we isolate ourselves from a world that's going to hell in a handbag. We're the only influence some of them have from the Scripture. It has anything with the Scripture. There must be a priority on God's Word. And I will say this morning. Part of the priority on God's Word is how someone views the importance of attending the services at church. Because what is the main emphasis? Enjoy the choir song this morning? I did. I enjoyed the fellowship time. I enjoyed singing the Scripture song. I enjoyed the special. I really enjoyed the special. Most times I do. Once in a while, it's okay, but kind of like some of the sermons I preach once in a while. They're, you know, most of the time they're just. But I'm going to tell you what the important thing is this morning from 10:45 to whenever. It's the preaching of this book. Yeah, well, that's because you're doing it. No, it was the same way last week when I sat and listened. And Keith Gomez preached. Church services are for the exaltation of this book right here. The preaching of this book. I know the arguments, folks. How many are I could probably give you some arguments that you never thought of. You all think that because somebody rarely misses church, that makes them spiritual. I can get just as much from my Bible at home as I can at a service during church. God speaks to me wherever I am. No. Rarely missing church does not make a person spiritual. Unfortunately, through the years, we've had people that never miss church who eventually go away and they're not spiritual. But I want to say this, spiritual people rarely miss church. Bottom line. And spiritual people certainly don't talk others out of going to services. And those that want to find delight in God's Word can't listen to that. So you put me in a tough spot because friends, family, so I'm sorry. Spiritual people don't talk down the importance of being in God's appointed place. Well, Pastor, you cannot show me from the Bible chapter and verse where a person needs to attend more than one service on Sunday. Listen carefully. I can show you where God said not to forsake the assembling of yourselves together. But be more committed, be more faithful to that assembly as you see the day of His coming approaching. How many of you were alive in 2020? If you haven't had your eyes open to what's going on in this world since 2020 and how directly the book of Revelation is coming to light. Antichrist comes on the scene. Well, I don't know how that can happen. What do you think happened to 2020? Close your doors. Stay home. Shut down. Get the shot. Wear your mask. You read the book of Revelation, 25% of the world's population dies in one judgment. You used to read that and go, how in the world does that happen? Are you living in this world today? How many have died and are still dying? So you don't see the day approaching? You got your head in the sand. Maybe on purpose. It's come clearer to me. Some of the passages in Revelation become clearer to me than ever before. Ever before. So my book says, as I see the day approaching, I become more committed. By the way, I believe that verse in Hebrews chapter 10, verse 25 was inspired in the day in which it was written, and it impacted the people that read it in that day. But I believe with all my heart, it has more of an impact on those of us living today. Because why? It's closer. I can also show you where on the first day of the week, God's people were gathered together. I can show you where Jesus' custom was to go to the assembly during his days on earth. But can I ask you a question? Does a person who delights in God's word really have to be shown the letter of the law that demands he be in services? Show me where I have to go to church. Really? Really? That's your attitude? Really? If church is a place where a priority is put on the exaltation of God's word, do you really have to be drug in? And there's always going to be those kinds of people. But to the point of my message this morning, the blessed man establishes a position in his life that protects him from their influence. Has to. The blessed man is the don't invite them to the family dinner because they will have to be in church type man. The oh, they will not miss the services at that church type family. The oh, they believe going to church all the time makes them spiritual type person. Listen, the heralding of God's word may last 45 minutes, it may last 33 minutes, or it may be only 20 in some cases. But if God's word is heralded during the service, and I find delight in God's word, then I'm not going to consistently miss services. And healthy people, perfectly capable of arranging their schedule to be in services for Sunday morning, night, and Wednesday, they are routinely no-shows. You know, so since we're already knee-deep in it, I might as well just go ahead and wade out a little deeper. I really enjoyed the recital. Belinda, Rick, it was wonderful. Naomi, those of you that teach piano, all the instruments, that recital blessed my gizzard. Amen? If you were here, and it was the number of young people involved, and it used to be the Neimeyer's violin solo, the Neimeyer's violin duet, the Neimeyer's piano solo, the Neimeyer's piano duet. Y'all remember those days? And they threw in a couple of McDonald's, and that was about a kid or two, and that was our recital. That thing was full of people all over the place. It was great. And I went home blessed and enjoyed it. And then, I don't know, I thought, you know, maybe if I scheduled a grandchild or a niece or nephew to preach on Wednesday night, I could get people to show up an hour before. I work. I can't get there. But the recital started at 6. We have church at 7 on Wednesday night. Well, Pastor, it's only the recital. Yeah, I know the recital is only, what, a couple times a year? I get that. But you know what we don't do at the recital? We don't magnify the Word of God. You know what we're doing right now? Say, I don't know, but I hope you'll quit soon. I have to throw some humor in somewhere because it's getting thick. And it's not done yet. People, do you understand? Look, I'm not just spewing up here. I'm not mad. I have to make sure in my heart on Sunday morning and Saturday night, pondering this, Brother Bragg, that I don't come to this pulpit mad. This pulpit is not a whipping post. So I've asked God to give my heart joy and levity and the right spirit. I believe I'm there. But God said in Titus 1:3 that He has He manifested His word through preaching. Now I understand, you know, and this is the thing, you know, the sad result of what I'm preaching right now is people who have legitimate reasons for not being here right now, they're feeling the worst. They're feeling guilty. They feel like they have let God and pastor and everybody else down. And I hate that. I mean, I forget if a guy works on Wednesday night, but does that mean the whole family lays out? People, you know, I guess part of the problem, if that's what it is, you know, I came into salvation in 1975 in an independent Baptist church, and every independent Baptist, pick them, pick one, pick any independent Baptist, any. They believed in separation. They believed in soul winning. Any of them. Well, that's changed. Now, what are we fighting for now, 40 years later? Going to church? I'd much rather preach this morning how to get your prayers answered or how to do this or how to do that, how to have a happy marriage. No, I got to spend time preaching on holding people's feet to the fire. You can get mad at me. You can get exasperated at me. You can stew at me. You do what you want. First, this is not about me. It's about our delight in God's word. It's about my loyalty to God's word. And secondly, I love you regardless of what you may think or feel. And that goes for every person in here. You don't love some people more than you love people alike. But I am not, by the grace of God, going to allow my love for you to keep me from holding your feet to the fire on one of the most fundamental matters of the Christian life, especially when it's to your benefit. And third, I know the older a preacher gets, the less he wants to stir the pot. But this morning, I'm stirring the pot. I got a big one. I'm stirring a big pot. And as God leads, I will not stop. Some people will feel guilty. They're the ones that have legitimate reasons for not being here. Others who don't have legitimate reasons, they won't budge because to do so is an admission that they've slipped in this area. They'll point to somebody else who does go to church all the time and point out some shortcoming in that person's life. So it's a shortcoming in this person's life that keeps me out of the place where God's magnified word is preached. That makes a lot of sense. Well, I feel good right now. I feel a lot of liberty. That makes about as much sense. I don't know what. Can you imagine? Can you imagine that? Letting somebody's shortcomings keep you out of the blessed man potential? You missed it, brother. Well, yeah, I know. But did you see brother so-and-so? Why does that keep you? Where is the delight in God's Word that draws me to the place where it's preached? Draws me. Well, okay, that's done. His pleasure, His position. Number three, we're done. His promise. Look at verse 3. And he shall be like a tree planted by the rivers of water that bringeth forth his fruit in his season. His leaf also shall not wither, and whatsoever he doeth shall prosper. That's quite a promise, isn't it? Now, be careful that you don't assign a carnal explanation to this promise or interpretation for this. People, this is not a blank check signed by God for materialistic prosperity. This is a spiritual fruitfulness that grows from the spiritual seed of God's Word as it is prioritized in our lives and as we position ourselves apart from those who don't prioritize it. This fruitfulness is in opposition to the product of the man in verses 4, 5, and 6. I won't even go into it. The man in verse 4, 5, and 6, he may excel in material ways. But in that which is considered true riches, they will not come to full possession. I will worship toward thy holy temple and praise thy name for thy loving kindness and for thy truth, for thou hast magnified thy word above all thy name. I preach this morning to encourage those who don't miss and who take delight in God's word and read it and look forward to it, just to keep on being faithful. I preach this morning to be faithful and loyal to truth, because the God of this book has put these words in this book and I'm not going to ignore it. And I preach in hope that one person or two or one couple will correct their attitude, correct their way. And I preach in hope that many will be the blessed man. The blessed man. But you can't separate him from his delight in God's word. Can't do it. Can't do it. No matter how hard you try. I love you. Front to back. Section to section. Those in the balcony, some of you I don't know. But you folks who go to church here, I love you. And I don't find this easy or hard to do. I find this being obedient to the passage that the Spirit of God took me to this week and said, this is January 8th, 2023, Sunday morning at the beginning of a year where we're going to lift up God's magnified word to encourage you to live by the principles of the blessed man and enjoy the product in verse 3. Let's pray together. Father in heaven, would you help us this morning, please? I pray that your Spirit would have free reign, free, complete free reign in our hearts right now, free reign in our lives. And may selfishness and pride and egotism and Lord, other things that fight against the Spirit of God in our lives, may those be laid to rest for these next few minutes. May we, Lord, honestly examine ourselves. Oh, Lord, I want to be the blessed man. I want to be that how happy child of God whose delight is in your word. Delight. So, Father, I pray that you'll take the message today, preached without, Lord, bitterness or anger or malice. Preached from a heart of love. And you know, you're looking, you know what's deep inside there. To your people that I love, God, raise up blessed men, women, teenagers, boys and girls in this church. People that take pleasure and delight in your word. Heads are bowed, eyes are closed. Pastor, somewhere throughout the course of the message, I'll be honest, God did prick my heart. I'll be honest about it. Maybe it made you mad at first, but then the more you thought about it, you thought, you know what? But God spoke to you in some way this morning. Would you lift a hand in the air? Would you do that while we have the invitation? Thank you. Take your hands down. Amen. I appreciate that. Is there anybody here today, you're not sure that you're saved? If you died right now, you don't know that heaven is your home. Is there anybody like that here today? You're not sure that you're saved? Hey, Pastor, I don't know that heaven is my home. I can't say that for sure. But this word right here tells you how you can have a home in heaven when you die. If you're not sure that you're saved, we can help you with that. Is there somebody here who would say, main floor, balcony, doesn't matter, visitor, member, doesn't matter. Pastor, I'm not sure that I'm saved. Could I just see your hand lifted high in the air, and I'll be happy to pray for you this morning. Not sure that I'm saved. Not sure I'm on my way to heaven when I die. If you came today to follow the Lord in believer's baptism, then you do that as well. Maybe you're already headed that way. Whatever the Spirit of God does in your heart. Folks, if we just obey God, just mind Him, obey Him. And if you're not there yet, take this home and chew on it. Meditate on it. Read it this week. Think about it. The blessed man's relationship with the magnified word. God bless the invitation to our hearts. I pray in Jesus' name. We're standing together. Heads are bowed. Eyes are closed. We have the invitation time. You obey the Lord this morning. Not just in services at church, but in your home, in your recliner, in the chair where you sit under the lamp. Oh, find delight. Delight in His Word. Delight in it. Delight. Find delight in His Word. Find it. The blessed man, that happy, happy man.